Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. Hoo-wee!
Goodness, I'm still about halfway wore out, but I tell you what, I'm also energized as well, jacked up, if you will, rocking, thrilled to pieces to be back behind the microphone for this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn, back from Appalachia Rising, and we are still rising, brothers and sisters, we are still rising. No, mountaintop removal hasn't ended yet. No, Barack Obama didn't come out to the fences. They're doing what to you? No, that didn't happen. Of course, I guess it doesn't work that way in Washington. But my goodness gracious, I've never seen such a thing as I witnessed in Washington, D.C. in the rain on Monday. It was amazing. People from literally all over the country converged on D.C., for a weekend of information and sharing, and then the march, the day of action on Monday that saw people go from Freedom Plaza to the EPA to PNC Bank to Lafayette Park and the fence right in front of the White House, where over 100 people were arrested in an act of peaceful civil disobedience that stands as an inspiration to us all. Wow. And if you were watching the Horn stream at Ustream.tv, you got to see some of it. Every time we go and we do one of these things, we learn a little bit more about the technology that we're upon whose cutting edge we are dancing along. But we got a stream out. It was rainy, and computers don't like rain, so there was no audio stream. But we did get a live stream out to Ustream.tv. Well worth the effort if you care to go back and watch it. It's saved there under the Horn, Head On with Bob Kincaid. You can go and have a look. It was simply amazing, and it was well documented. And the Horn was there in force because not only was I there, but I was pleased and honored to be joined by Matt Osborne, as well as our critic at large. And the editorial columnist for the Horn's Cavalcade of Crazy, Reverbo himself, who made it personal and came on down to Washington, D.C. for the day of action. Now, you can go to headonradionetwork.com, and right there in the rotator at the top of the page, you can click on a Cavalcade of Crazy, and you'll see Reverbo's thoughts right there for your enjoyment, as well as some of the photographs that he shot of the event. Then, when you have done that, you can go over to Crooks and Liars and scroll down just a little way, and you'll see Matt Osborne's post, Appalachia Rises by Sitting Down. I happened to be witness to the creative process as Matt pulled that together. And he's not kidding when he says it takes an hour of work to do a minute of video. He's really not. He started working on this as soon as we got out of the rain and got into a decently dry space to start working, and he completed it in the wee small hours of this morning / last night. And what you will find there when you scroll to the bottom, what you will find there is a nearly 30-minute video documenting the day of action from its inception, from its beginning at Freedom Plaza to the EPA to PNC Bank and ultimately to Lafayette Park across from the White House and to the sidewalk directly in front of the White House itself. go and have a look. I'm not going to play it for you. I don't want to ruin it for you. Because talking about video on the radio is very clearly dancing about architecture, so let's don't do that. Now, a few reflections. After it was all over, Reverbo, Matt, and I had a chance to sort of debrief each other because we were all over the crowd and seeing and hearing different things. And over a dirty water dog on the corner of Pennsylvania and 14th, it was an amazing little moment of shared perception. Some might say it was the function of like alien thought rays or some sort of Vulcan mind meld. But we all hit on the same thing at the same time. This was a function of the real grassroots. What you saw on Monday, or what you will see if you watch Matt's video and look at the photos that Reverbo shot, is, no kidding, real live, honest to God, grassroots action. There was no Freedom Works. There was no overarching drive by some political entity to get people to stand in the rain in order to demand full citizenship status, in order to demand equal protection under the law, in order to demand simply being treated as human beings. No, this was a grassroots movement. In the purest, most platonic definition of what a grassroots movement is. And we all realized that at the same time. And we were looking at each other sort of wide-eyed and surprised. Because almost at the exact same moment, we looked at each other and said, this is what the teabaggers wish they could be. This is the kind of an issue and the kind of passion and the kind of determination that they will never in a million years be able to manifest because they're not real. They're creatures. No, in answer to a question, I was not arrested. Because had I been arrested, I would have to have been waiting on you guys to bail me out. And, frankly, I might have had to wait for a very long time. We are at September the 30th, by the way. You know that. I know that. And our drive to create the Thrifty 250 kind of stalled around 75. So, no, there was no way I had money to get bailed out. Because, again, this was grassroots. Everybody reached into their own pockets who was planning on getting arrested. There are right now circulating on email lists and so forth, pleas for money to pay fines with. Getting arrested is not cheap. These are things that are undertaken by people knowing that they are hazarding their own well-being. And they did so gladly in dedication and determination that Appalachian people and the people downstream from them, people in places who never heard of Appalachia, who are still being poisoned by what happens here, that they deserve not to be poisoned any longer. Especially not to support the strange fascist communist hybrid dictatorship in China. Because that's where it goes. It just is. Now, the fact of the matter, though, is that what made this issue so real, what made this event so real, was the fact that every single person there who had ever been in Appalachia had breathed poison, had had it come through their skin, had had it go into their bodies in water. That was a march of poisoned people living in poisoned lands. And I suppose that's what gave the gravity and reality to what went on. For instance, Reverbo wrote in something that he posted yesterday. He said, I'd like to end my occasional call-in conversations to Bob Kincaid with a line from the book Altered Carbon by Richard K. Morgan. It's simply stated, make it personal. I don't know how it could get any more personal for the people living in these corridors of destruction. The fact that they keep their tempers in check and their disobedience civil is even more to their credit. Corridors of destruction. And then this observation. Mr. Obama and all legislators who were the fortunate recipients of the wave of populist spirit in 2008 should make no mistake about it. These were your voters for hope and change. You asked them to believe and to show up on Election Day, and they did. Now they're asking you in return to listen and to act on their behalf. The only special interest here. Write this one down. Write this one down. This is pull quote material. The only special interest here is our quality of life. Wow. Can't really get much more special than that, can it? And then later, those with wealth and influence can pick up the phone and be patched through to Senator Snorbuckle's office as I write. And some call that democracy. Well, it ain't. Anyone who claims to believe in the real thing should have been in Washington for the Appalachia Rising Day of Action. That is what democracy looks like. And then if you wander over to Crooks and Liars, you'll read this from Matt Osborne. Appalachia Rising defied stereotype. These patient, brave, wonderful, eclectic Americans live in the so-called flyover states. They are the ordinary folk that movement conservatives pretend to be, but are not. They are the grassroots that tea parties were funded to imitate. But no matter how hard the right tries, it cannot steal this act because it is not an act. Mountaintop removal is real and their complaints genuine. Perhaps more tellingly, their creativity is compelling and their courage is yet unmatched in the annals of teabaggery. I couldn't have said it better myself in either instance, and I'm glad I didn't. So the upshot of all of this is that this is not an end. Appalachia Rising did not end with the arrests and the departures on Monday afternoon. Oh, no. In point of fact, this was the beginning. And it spreads outward, as most risings do. And it's a matter of you being able to share the knowledge that you've gained to let others know what is going on here, that people are dying, that people are being poisoned, and that the poison is spreading like ripples on a toxic lake of sludge to affect people far, far downstream who have no idea that their lives are being ruined. Indeed. Indeed. Now, as I said, this was a real grassroots movement with real focus. It was not co-opted by anyone. Little grammar Nazi that I am, it was not, all the signs were properly spelled. I will say with 100% certainty here that every sign in that crowd was properly spelled. The only people raising their voices were raising their voices in the name of our common humanity, not in the name of enabling some corporate gang of thugs to continue their thuggery. No, not at all. So then, therefore, contrast that with this. You know, I, being a Southerner, I am terribly, terribly partial to the reporting that comes out of the Institute for Southern Studies. And this hit today. Special report. Industry wraps coal ash regulation fight in the mantle of civil rights. You see, I saw firsthand on Monday what the modern extension of the civil rights movement looks like. Because this wasn't an environmental march. This was a human rights march. This was a human rights and civil rights protest. Because you see, when your family, your loved ones, your neighbors, when you're being poisoned to death, you are having your civil rights taken from you, because dead folk have no civil rights. You want proof? This is a bit arcane, but someday many of us will be planted in the dirt after we have shuffled off this mortal coil. If you look at the law of most states, they will tell you that you do not have ownership of a grave plot. That your occupation of a grave plot is more in the way of the way most courts define it is in the way of a permanent easement, but not titled land ownership, because a dead person can't own anything. I know, arcane, right? But this was, sure enough, a civil rights movement, a human rights movement. So I couldn't help but be moved by the contrast and sort of just blown backward by the hypocrisy of what I read in the story at southernstudies.org. It's right there on the front page if you go there. Industry wraps coal ash regulation fight in the mantle of civil rights. And they got them a whole bunch of words on here. A lot of reading. And it's enough to put you off your supper by the time you're done, especially if the heritage of the American Civil Rights Movement means something to you, because here we have a person who was involved in the civil rights struggle who has unzipped his fly and peed all over it. Standing out among the more than 250 people who testified at the recent Environmental Protection Agency hearing on proposed coal ash regulations in Charlotte, North Carolina, was one speaker with an especially distinguished background, Charles Steele, Jr. Now, Mr. Steele was the first African-American member of the Tuscaloosa City Council, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He's a former Democratic state senator from Alabama. And he went on to become the leader of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. You know the SCLC, right? The Southern Christian Leadership Conference. That's the civil rights organization whose very first president was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. So there's some history there. There is definitely some history, right? Mr. Steele left the SCLC last year. Now he is a consultant in Atlanta. And when you read coal ash regulation and Southern Christian Leadership Conference former leader, if you're like me, a couple of things seem rather obvious, don't they? Because we know especially if you listen to the horn, you know. You know what usually happens with coal ash? You know that coal ash ponds and coal ash dumps, which are vast concentrated agglomerations of mercury, barium, cadmium, selenium, arsenic, magnesium, manganese, all manner of toxic substances pressed down and shaken together, you know that they don't put those next to the McMansion communities. Mm-mm. Those get put near the poor folks. Often in the South, poor folks of color. Like, for instance, Perry County, Alabama, where the death rate will continue to soar, where the poisoning rate will continue to soar, because the toxic coal ash from Kingston, Tennessee, was trucked there by the train carload and dumped into their city landfill. And they called it, the county leadership called it economic growth. Yeah, that's it. Economic growth. And so, as I did, the authors of this report said, given Steele's work on behalf of civil rights, one might have expected him to support better regulation of coal ash. But no, don't get ahead of yourself. Now, bear in mind that in Perry County, like I said, the runoff from the landfill where they dumped the toxic coal ash is now standing at levels more than 80 times the safe drinking water standard. Mm-hmm. Arsenic. Yeah, arsenic. But no. You would be mistaken if you thought like I did. Yes, you would. Because Charles Steele Jr., former leader of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, appeared in Charlotte, North Carolina at that EPA hearing to argue, no, really, against the regulation of coal ash. And what did he do? Well, you've got to understand a little bit about Charles Steele first. He has routinely taken money from Alabama Power, a humongous consumer of, among other things, mountaintop removal coal. And, well, you know, when you take the money, you dance the dance. So under the guise of civil rights, Charles Steele Jr. was trotted out in Charlotte, North Carolina to talk about how it may, well, regulating coal ash should drive up power bills. Regulating coal ash would increase, but this is a quote, increase the poverty rate by 20% for African-American families and 22% for Hispanic families, while decreasing median minority household incomes by as much as $660 per year. There's only one problem with all of that. It's a lie. For you see, Charles Steele Jr. is a liar. And the reason that he's a liar, well, he was there representing an organization called Working People for Fair Energy. Dang, that sounds good. I want to join up, don't you? Working People for Fair Energy. Oopsie. Working People for Fair Energy is a 501c4 social welfare lobbying group. Steele incorporated it last June. And they say at their website that their purpose is to protect working families from national energy laws that create higher energy prices. And this is one of those thank God for the Institute of Southern Studies moments and other organizations like it, but in this case, the Institute for Southern Studies and Facing South online magazine. This is what they found out. It's part of the Partnership for Affordable Clean Energy. That's based in Montgomery, Alabama. It was incorporated by William D. Lineberry. William D. Lineberry is with the Birmingham office of a law firm named Balch and Bingham. That just sounds dirty, doesn't it? Now, who are Balch and Bingham? Felch and Frackham? Well, they're lobbyists for the Southern Company. Who's the Southern Company, you might ask? Well, the Southern Company is a owns as a subsidiary a little outfit called Alabama Power. Yeah. Remember the coal burners? Right. Now, when Mr. Steele sat there to testify to the EPA at the EPA hearing, the data he used came from an outfit called the Affordable Power Alliance. Now, that's led by a conservative African-American Christian minister named Harry R. Jackson, Jr. Now, hold on. Work with me. Affordable Power Alliance, in turn, according to the Institute for Southern Studies, well, they're affiliated with the Congress of Racial Equality. See, this is kind of like what Glenn Beck does, only this is real. This isn't the kind of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing that Glenn Beck... No, this is real. The Affordable Power Alliance is an affiliate of the Congress of Racial Equality. Sounds good, right? Well, it started out good. It was a civil rights organization founded in the 1940s. More recently, however, it has taken to devoting its support to anti-environmental, read, anti-human rights, anti-civil rights initiatives, like expanding oil drilling. Really? Really? Who do they take money from? They take money from ExxonMobil. Sure. The Congress of Racial Equality, or CORE, has declared, through their chairman, Roy Innes, coal and natural gas are the new civil rights battleground, because without these sources, we cannot enjoy this great society. Now, I know this is a little bit complicated, but this is important because this is exactly why you have to have something like, why you have to have Appalachia Rising. Because the other side is out in front and they got horse gagging loads of money, and the only hope we have is the honest, straightforward, intelligent, informed, impassioned words, deeds, and actions of real people, not paid people, not astroturfers, not cannon fodder for the culture wars. I looked really hard at that group on Monday, and I tried to see with eyes to see. Some of you know what that means. Most of you do. And I saw grannies. Saw grandpas. I'm a grandpa. I saw college kids. I saw 30-somethings with their lives opening, their careers, their grown-up world opening before them, and shutting almost as quickly because of the toxins that are poured into their world, into their lives, into their existence, and into their dreams. I came away, because they're kind of hard to find these days, because of the insistent drumbeat of phony organizations like CORE and PACE,
and Charles Steele and the Teabaggers. But I came away with something stirring deep inside me, and I know it was stirring deep inside many of those around me. I came away with something beautiful and amazing. Because in that rally, flying highest and proudest above all the signs, properly spelled, above all the graphics, above all the hands in the air, was the American flag. And looking at it, I realized that it was that vision of the flag, the mere sight of which would bring my father, gone now these 3 years, three and a half, that would bring him instantaneously to tears. And it did the same thing to me. Because it was magnificent. Because what I witnessed on Monday was not the patriotism that is the last refuge of scoundrels, but the patriotism that burns white hot from generation to generation in the breast of people who understand that America is not a place, but an idea. That America is more future than present, informed by its past, but birthed in every coming moment. And that a movement that could bring people in D.C. the way Appalachia Rising did, that it constituted a big dose of that hope that certain politicians liked to talk about a couple of years ago. That no one would have been there who was not imbued with that hope. If you say to yourself, it's the same, it was the same yesterday, it's going to be the same today, it's going to be the same tomorrow, you don't show up in a soaking rain at the end of September in Washington, D.C. If you have no hope, you do not petition the government for redress of grievance in full exercise of your First Amendment rights to the point of giving up your liberty. You don't do that. You only do that if America is a bright and shining reality for you, that grows brighter with every person who sits down in that patriotic gathering in front of the White House. America and the things that make America great are alive. I know it because I saw it on Monday. America and the things that make America great are alive. And with you and many others adding your voices to those voices that were there in Washington, D.C. on Monday, I know that America is not only alive, but America is alive and getting well. It's awfully good to be back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. See the man with the military mind.
I'm informed that we've got some audio issues going on. I tried to correct some of them, but some of them may not be so correctable quite so quickly, but we'll try as we go along. My apologies. Please do not adjust your sets. This is mine. This is entirely on my end. But, you know, you're going to have that. 20 minutes before the hour, and let's get the conversation started. It's been too long away. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
I hear you.
This is Megan.
Yeah, hey, Megan.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I suddenly remember what it was I wanted to talk to you about when I called you, I believe, on Friday.
Thursday, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Thursday. You had asked how crazy the people were in Delaware.
Yes.
I forgot to mention, we had an Aryan Nation rally in Bethany Beach a couple weeks back.
Okay.
And I was actually pretty proud to be a Unitarian because I think it was around the same time of the Quran burning. You mentioned that they had put a stop to that, I think, down in Florida.
It was stopped. It wasn't put a stop to. The guy just didn't do it.
Okay. They protested at the Aryan Nation rally as well in Bethany. So I mean it wasn't my church. I go to a different church, but I was really proud of that.
Okay.
I was trying to keep an eye out for media coverage of the past rally, and I didn't really see a whole lot.
There was actually a pretty good bit, Megan. We were in the AP and most of the major papers. CNN was there. Of course, Radio Rwanda was nowhere to be found, but, you know, what do we expect from them?
Oh, God. I'm actually following, I followed Angelo since you had him on his program, and the tweet that he puts up regarding Glenn Beck's program was, I'm just kind of amazed at what the man says. I mean, Glenn Beck, not Angelo.
Oh, geez, Megan, I mean, you want to talk about the stupidity of that clown. There was a moment earlier today when he said, just watch. Any time now, the leaves are changing.
Yeah, he tweeted that, and I was like, oh, my God, I actually tweeted back. I was like, how far gone do you have to be to not realize that it's fall outside? I was like, really? Are you that far gone? But at this point, I'm...
But that was, you know, that was probably breaking news of some sort of dog whistle conspiracy theory to the drooling, knuckle-walking, the goobers who think that he opens his mouth and truth spews forth.
Oh, God. See, that's the kind of my mentality that really kind of scares me right there. And to top it all off, I think, seriously, the Donald campaign commercials.
Right.
Sort of like right directly after I eat my breakfast and right directly after I eat my dinner. So I'm like, I have to change the channel because I want to keep food in my stomach.
That's tough.
She's accusing, or she's saying that Harry Reid said that Chris Coons is his pet. And I'm like...
Oh, they accused Chris Coons of being a witch, too. So, you know.
I heard him. I heard they, he was joking about being a shaved-headed Marxist or something. And I'm like, what in the world?
Oh, bearded Marxist. Yeah.
Bearded Marxist.
You know, and the best thing that we can do, Megan, is not even play with that stuff. You know, it's like poo, dog poo laying on the ground. Don't get near it. You might step in it, and if you do, it's just going to be nasty.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I am trying to kind of pace myself because I I know that between now and November, it's going to get pretty nasty. So I'm just like, if I burn myself out now, by the time November 3rd comes around, I'm going to just be so sick of it. But that was the other thing. Are you planning anything special for election night?
Oh, we will have all night long election coverage. Preferably hosted and joined in by members of the Horn and by the Horn family offering their observations. This is citizen driven.
Okay, so is it not just going to be the 3-hour long program?
Well, it'll be my show, and then it'll be whatever Rick's doing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't know if you were planning anything special. I'm going to try and see if I can't get some time off of work and see if I can't just, stay home all day and see what's going on. Because at this point, I'm thinking logically the Tea Party madness is really going to bite the Republicans in the rear end. But given what happened with the primaries and given that I kind of always expect things to be smarter than they really are, I'm kind of worried about how it's going to turn out.
Look, there's only one way to run an election if you're a politician, and that is, either run scared to death or unopposed. So it's not unusual to be nervous. You'd like to say that nobody knows how an election's going to turn out, but of course, if you were to ask our good friend Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com, he would tell you that as long as there are touchscreen voting machines in use in this country, it's not you don't know how the election's going to turn out. You don't even know if your vote's going to be counted.
Oh, God. Since the 2001 election, I used to be of the mindset of, why does it matter? But since the 2001 election, no one can really say, hey, your vote doesn't count. Because it seems to me that the last...
It's not that your vote doesn't count. It's that your vote doesn't get counted. And if you vote on a touchscreen machine, there is no way of verifying that the intent of the voter was manifested in the actual final tally of the election.
Well, that's the point, because most of the elections, at least to me, seem like they are coming down to the last few hundred votes to decide who the candidates are. And if someone wanted to mess with an election, that's not hard for them to tinker with. I mean, if you're coming down the last few hundred votes, no one's going to come out and say, hey, that's unusual. We got to investigate.
Yeah.
I know this. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I know that in Delaware where I vote, it's not a touch screen like an ATM touch screen. It's more of a push button. You have to make sure that the light is lit up like a almost like a projector screen with like construction paper and laminated construction paper on it, and you have to make sure that your vote is lit up before you press the green button, and then you hear a ding, and then it's not really that sense, but at the same time there's no paper trail as far as I know.
And that's ultimately the problem. No paper trail, no your only hope is to either vote on one of those optical, optical scans are even suspect, but they're a little less suspect than touchscreen. If you have any opportunity to vote any other way than on a touchscreen machine, it would be nice if the liberal progressive side or whatever would be screaming this from the rooftops from now to November the 2nd, Megan. I'm glad you brought it up. Because you cannot vote and know that your vote was counted if you're voting on any kind of touchscreen device, period. It's that simple.
Well, it was like you were saying earlier that you're like, what left? And again, I was like, well, he's right, because I am seriously, I have been choking on my rage since the 2001 presidential election. And I'm sitting here like, I do not understand why there's not more outrage. Why is there not more talk about this sort of thing? To me, it was like, the right to vote has been a basic right. Many groups have fought for it over, you know, and really, I would say almost died for it. Definitely died for it. And now it's like, isn't that more important to, you know, than what we got to figure out next in this country? If we're going to be an example for everyone else, like, you know, they say we're supposed to be. I mean, that's what I really, it really kind of floors me. It's like the attitude towards voting now seems to be, more apathetic and, we're not going to check if our votes are counted. And I'm sitting here like, you've got to be kidding me. My paper the other day about, hey, an independent voter said that, she was just going to sit at home because she had to choose between a liar and a crook. And I'm sitting here like, well, that's how these crazies get in office, is because you people sit at home and you don't, you don't speak out, And it's like there's so much complaint about the way the government is being run. I'm like, why are you not going to exercise your basic right in this country and then complain about the government being run, It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's because it's nonsensical, Megan. It doesn't make any sense to you because you use your brain. And the thing that people who, anybody who's a teabagger or a birther, deather, tenther, third, whatever, booger eater, the thing that they have to do is they have to check their brain at the door. Because they're not involved in anything resembling intellect. They are involved in authoritarian manipulation. I know that sounds like gobbledygook words, but I don't know of any other way to say it. They are not self-actualizing or self-motivating. They have to be driven. They have to be led. It's like the right-wing religion industry, Megan. The reason that abortion, for instance, the reason abortion is still legal in the United States is because the right wing desperately needs abortion. If it ever goes away, they'll never get their little fundamentalist Baptists and whatever, Pentecostal holiness, second coming, blah, blah, blah. They'll never get them to come scurrying out from behind the baseboards to vote again. That's why it's always these hot button social issues. So, that's right.
Well, see, that, to me, again, that's another thing that really angers me is I'm personally pro-choice. So any candidate right off the bat that's like, I respect life on all levels. And I'm like, well, if you voted for the two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and then voted that we were going to cut taxes running this deficit up in the last 8 years that Bush the second was in office, don't sit there and tell me that you respect life on all levels.
Megan, it's this simple. If the Republicans happen to take power on November the 2nd in the House, the Senate, or both, the teabaggers will wilt away until they are re-energized in the 2012 presidential election cycle. They'll melt away. Maybe they've already peaked. We don't know. That this is just a tough, weird time to be alive and try to figure out what people are going to do, assuming their votes are counted. It's awful good to hear from you, though, and, I hope to hear from you soon. You take care, all right?
All right, you take care, too, Bob.
See you, Megan.
Bye.
And from Delaware, that was Megan. And the lines are open, of course. You know the number, 877-443-2366. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, it's Tony.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, you recognize my voice. First of all, I thought we were going to have to march on Washington with a free Bob Now rally, because I thought you were going to get arrested for sure.
No. It's not for want of courage or anything. It's just more for... Among other things, if I got arrested, I couldn't document what was going on.
No, we were going to come down there with a free bomb rally if that would have happened. But anyway, so did you have to sedate your wife while you were gone? Because you had to lock her up or something to keep her from working too hard.
No, she was. I don't know.
You don't know for sure, huh?
She's exhausted. You know, when one of us is gone, the other one just doubles the load. So, you know how that goes.
I got to tell you something. I'm a city boy, and I never really understood this whole mountaintop thing until I started listening to you. The other day on that, you know, that 30-day program where that guy goes and does 30 days or something?
Yeah.
He did a 30-day coal mine. Have you seen it?
Yeah, that was Morgan Spurlock. Yeah, he did underground coal mining, right.
Was that pretty accurate?
Relatively speaking, yeah. I think he went into a union, mine. So things weren't quite as awful as they are if you're, you know, some poor bastard who works for Massey.
So it was a little sugar-coated then.
Well, they weren't going to let him go into some gassy hole and get blown all to smithereens.
That's true. But, yeah, the only place, I didn't see it on any of the mainstream news. You know, that was Sean and all those guys. I like to say that they're alternative media when they're number one. I don't get it. But really, the only coverage I saw was on Democracy Now. You know?
Yeah.
And like you said, there was, you know, Rita Wanda, they were going to be there, and they were like little blips on the other thing. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for Democracy Now! And a few other places out, you'd never even known it was happening.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, there was print coverage. I know. I mean, I've seen it. But as far as TV, I don't know what they did or didn't do.
I'm going to talk about a few things, if it's all right. Did you hear about the kid whose roommate taped him having sex?
Yeah, that was sickening.
I mean, I don't know. You know, you think we've progressed as a society, you think that, oh, well, you know, so what? You think, I mean, really, it's a so what situation, but because there's so much prejudice and racism that, you know, the kid was probably, his parents probably didn't even know. And he was afraid to tell him, and I don't know. That doesn't make any kind of sense at all. Because, you know, when you have to hide like that, and like his, you know, his friends probably didn't know, his parents didn't know, and then suddenly it's all over the internet and stuff. I mean, what was the guy going to do?
No, it's a sad, sick, and troubling story, Tony, because it goes to show that all of these, I mean, how can I put this? We tested out some fairly cutting edge stuff in DC that you can do with the interweb tubes.
Oh yeah.
And we were doing it for good. But everything that can be used for good can be used for evil or ill as well. And, you know, a place like that, you know, there's, and let's not forget, those are people who are barely out of their teens. And you know what? Adolescents are some of the meanest people on the planet. That's why you recruit them for your army, Tony.
You know, I never thought about that, but you're right.
You know, there's a reason that we don't want 40-somethings who are sitting and rationally and reasonably thinking about things, that we don't want to ask them to be the ones to storm the machine gun nests.
That's true. And speaking of the Army, have you heard those soldiers being charged for going into Afghan villages, cutting off the fingers and killing some of the villagers in the... apparently they're up on charges. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. We covered that on the show probably about a week and a half ago.
Figures. I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
But they're in trouble, and now Pakistan is starting to refuse to help NATO because of the drone attacks. You might have heard about that, too.
Yeah, I read about it. Yeah, I read about it today. We are marching steadfastly away from anything resembling success. But that's the thing. Success is not something that you can readily measure in a place like the Pakistan, Afghanistan tribal areas. You just can't.
Talk about heart winning the hearts and minds. Getting back to the coal thing, did anybody, did Blankenship speak out at all about anything, or did he just kind of keep his mouth
shut? No, they actually kept their mouth shut and they didn't show up.
They didn't show up? No.
They only show up if they're paid to show up.
You're probably right about that. I'm bouncing around a little bit, so if I'm going too many places, you can cut me off. But this Christine O'Donnell thing, Have you heard this thing about her boyfriend paying off her house?
No, I missed that.
Well, listen to this. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to go, but I want you to think about this for a second. She's talking about, like, abstinence and all this stuff and you know, saving herself for marriage and how she's not doing anything. Apparently, she had a house that she was behind payments in default, and the boyfriend, the guy she was dating at the time, paid it off for her. I guess he was her campaign manager, and he paid $20,000 more than it was worth just to get her out of debt. Now, I'm not saying that women are like that, but think about it. Why would you pay $20,000 more for a house of a girlfriend? Once again, I don't know, if you weren't providing special favors. Does that, I mean...
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think that's kind of sexist. I hope not, but... I mean, she's supposed to be this... Well, anyway, I don't know. So you said that... like I said, I saw Amy Goodman. Who else was there? Was there any overseas press?
Oh yeah, there was overseas press over the course, because you know there was a whole weekend leading up to the day of action.
Well, of course.
And there was foreign press. There was and then you know there were various newspapers and photographers. Like I said, there were stories in the AP. I don't have them all in front of me. In fact, if you watch the video that Matt Osborne posted at Crooks and Liars, you'll even see he captured briefly, you know, one of the CNN cameramans, you know, with the logo on it.
Did you see any? I mean, I don't know where you were at exactly, but did you see any major politicians at all?
No. There were no politicians.
Like that, huh?
No. And you know what? They weren't sought or solicited. Because this wasn't a politician's movement. This was, honest to God, I mean, it was grassroots. It was working people. It was moms and dads and children. It was grandmas and grandpas, and in some cases, probably great grandparents.
Really?
Students, workaday folks, the authors, everybody. I mean, it was a complete cross section of the culture.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, did you have like, because like when people talk about, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but when I think about Appalachian, you have to understand, you know, I grew up, you know, in California, close to LA and stuff. I always think of a certain kind of person. Were you surprised at how many different the entire spectrum of people that showed up? Did that shock you at all?
No. No, it didn't. It didn't shock me in the least, because again, and I come back to it, and I'm not trying to be a broken record. This was what real grassroots looks like. The real grassroots come from a broad spectrum. They're not 55 and over white retirees who can't spell like the teabagger movement.
Why wouldn't Fox come down there and cover that? I mean, I understand their situation and everything, but are they that heartless?
No, they're not heartless. This just, it, among other things, it would prove embarrassing. It would prove embarrassing to the teabaggers. Because, again, this was the kind of thing the teabaggers can only dream of being.
You know, you're right.
As Matt Osborne pointed out, he said, "Show me a teabagger rally where there has ever been an act of mass civil disobedience, and I will eat my hat." They don't do that. They're paid to show up, and they show up when they're paid to show up, and then they go home and wait for the next call.
And you know, that makes sense. I never thought about it that way, but you're right.
They're artificial. They are, you know, they're high fructose corn sweetener, and we're sugar.
And none of them have ever been arrested, ever.
No. I mean, my God, they showed up with guns at a town hall meeting to show Barack Obama we mean business.
You know, nobody got arrested for that.
No.
They show up with guns, but you guys show up with signs, and it was a peaceful thing, and people got... What was most of the stuff they got arrested for? I mean...
The charge was disobeying a lawful order.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's really stupid.
Because apparently you can't sit down on the sidewalk by the White House.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, personally, I'm glad you didn't get arrested. I mean, you know, it's just, whenever you put yourself in a situation where if you're going to protest for something and you get arrested and for whatever reason you go to jail, you know, whenever you get involved with a policeman, not that I'm saying it can all go bad, but you really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, from the time you're arrested to the time you're released, anything could happen.
But you want a little bit of humor?
Yeah.
The authorities there are not entirely insensitive to what is going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they knew that they were going to have a whole bunch of people to arrest. You know, because you plan for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
So it's not like you can just bring a paddy wagon or just bring a few cruisers down there. So instead, they brought a DC Metro bus, you know, cool air-conditioned comfort.
Did they serve you sandwiches?
But wait, no. It's even better. It was powered by natural gas.
Oh, that's fantastic. That would have been great if you could have got that in the paper.
It was reported on.
Oh, it was actually powered by natural gas.
Yeah.
Wow, can I use the word ironic for that?
Absolutely.
So that is really great. So looks like Rob Emanuel's leaving the White House this week.
Yeah, I know, and you know, goodbye. We never loved you very much. You know, I don't know if it will mean a manifest change, because the guy who is replacing him, Tony, was Tom Daschle's guy. Remember Tom Daschle?
God, oh no, are you kidding me?
Yeah, when he got done with Tom Daschle, he got a job with the young Senator Barack Obama.
You know, I got to tell you something.
Because, you know, that Tom Daschle was a real firebrand.
I read I know you know the book. I read Jeremy Scahill's book, Blackwater.
Yeah.
Right? I was shocked on how many, everybody in Washington, they just move around. It's like,
yeah, sure. It's where you work.
It's like musical chairs.
Look, if you're a butcher and you work in a butcher shop and your job's over at your butcher shop, you go to another butcher shop.
But it's I can't go into all the detail because I don't remember all the names of the jobs. But everybody knows each other, and everybody just rotates around.
Sure.
It's Bob. You should read that book because you would be stunned. Eric Prince's wife is somebody's this. This guy here is somebody's that.
Sure, and the guy who led Tom Daschle backwards toward victorious defeat is going to be the White House chief of staff.
Oh my God! You know, when Obama got elected, I thought, oh, he's going to bring in Bill Richards and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. It's all the same people. I don't know. I don't. You know, Jesse Ventura once said, "We got away from England to get away from career politicians. Now we have second generation career politicians." I mean, it's just a big rounding. It's like spin the bottle. Will you go here? I don't know. I mean, as long as this keeps happening, we're going to end up in the same place that we are now. I don't understand. But what do you think about John Stewart's rally and Stephen Colbert's rally? Do you think that might do well?
Yeah, I think it's cute. I don't want to dishearten anybody, but John Stewart, the way he got it all started was saying that, you know, he wants it to be a return to sanity, and he did that by creating the usual false equivalence between people on our side, which I will not call the not left. Normal people and the crazies on the right. He created a false equivalence. You know how it is. Well, you know, the other one, the right's got Andrew Breitbart, but the left's got Michael Moore.
You know, it might be a lot of...
And frankly, anything couched in those terms is BS. Because we don't have an equivalent of Andrew Breitbart. We don't have an equivalent of Fox News. We don't have an equivalent of Sean Hannity. We don't have an equivalent of Glenn Beck.
I I hope that it's not a lot of, I hope it's not a lot of fluff and hardly any substance. I hope that it doesn't turn into a comedy routine. I hope that there's some serious speakers. You know, it's not going to get that. You know who's not going to cover it. You know who is. But I hope that some serious points will be brought up, and I just hope they get, they'll be able to put the pulse of the American people that who go to that side. I hope that we'll get our voice heard, because.
Well, I'm more concerned about what happens Saturday. And were it not for the fact that Ferg is going in for surgery tomorrow on his knee, I might try to figure out a way to get back to D.C. because, you know, my ass needs just a few more calluses on it because I haven't been running around enough lately.
I'm confused. What's happening Saturday?
The humongous progressive rally in D.C.
Oh, okay. My bad.
If you don't know about, that doesn't speak very well for the rest of the country either.
Well,
I mean, I'm not gooning on you, Tony.
Yeah, I to be honest with you,
Ed Schultz said he wants to see.
Yeah,
he wants to see a half a million people, and you know, SEIU and the AFL-CIO have gotten behind it and everything.
Now I remember what you're talking about. Yeah.
And you know, I guess the TV coverage on like Free Speech TV maybe is going to be hosted by Laura Flanders and Tom Hartman.
Oh, okay. So it's really not going to be. It's just it's not that much coverage then, basically. It's going
to
be.
Well, it remains to be seen. You know, I fully expect Radio Rwanda to show a photograph of any ordinary autumn day on the mall in D.C. and see, there's no liberals. No liberals showed up.
Man. Well, I got two more things to say, and then I'll let you go. On a lighter note, did you happen to catch Sarah Palin on Dancing with the Stars when she got booed?
You mean Bristol?
Sarah showed up.
Oh, dear God.
And she got booed. People were booing her, and the guy was saying, "We've never had anybody booed on the show before." They didn't boo Bristol. They booed Sarah because of her policies. That's all. And it was kind of fun to watch because she gave that same generic smile, and you know, she acted like she didn't really hear it, but they were flat booing her. And it was pretty fun to watch, just to see her squirm a little bit. And secondly, for all those people who don't think that government assistance doesn't work, you know my situation. You know I was unemployed.
Right.
You know that I told you I had to get my tankers and my doubles to make myself more valuable, right, to get a better job, right?
Sure.
Okay. And you know, if it wasn't for, I finally got a job. I'm leaving for Chicago for orientation probably this weekend or Monday. If I didn't have the time to get my hazmat and my doubles, I'd probably still be looking. If it wasn't for unemployment, I wouldn't have had the time to study to better myself. So I'm living proof that government assistance does work. If it wasn't for that, I didn't want to go back to driving a taxi, but if I had to. If I didn't have the government assistance, I could have never accomplished this. And it's going to be suck. It's going to suck because I got to leave my wife. But I wish I could tell those guys who say these programs don't work. They work, Bob.
Sure they do. You're living proof, and lots of others are as well. However, we can't be running around telling people that it works because, well, if we tell people that it works, then they'll realize it works, and we won't be able to, you know, bust the system and give the money to Wall Street.
I had to study. You were here. You saw what I had to do. I had to study, and if I was working full-time, it would have been twice as hard. These programs work, and I hope right now the Republicans are trying to go after Social Security. They want to privatize it. They want to put it in the stock market. Well, you saw what happened when they did that with all those pensions, and the stock market crashes and we lose them all. These programs work. We need to keep
Well, the money wasn't lost. It was just found by different people.
We need to actually, like I told you before, make college free. If I'm not the smartest person in the world, and I would love to go to college, the problem is I would have to, because I didn't finish high school, I would have to take pre-classes, which is $140 a credit, and I have to take seven or eight of them. I have a family. Think about how much it would cost. It would take me longer because I'd have to start from almost scratch. But if I knew that I could go to college for free, I would bust my hump to get good grades. These programs work, Bob, and we need to keep them. Anyway, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad we didn't have to march on Washington with a free Bob rally. I'm glad your wife's okay. Because we would have done it. You know we would have done it.
Free Bob Kincaid. Free Bob Kincaid.
Anyway, nice talking to you again, and I hope everything
right.
Worked out.
All right. You take care, Tony. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And let's see. We're 14 past the hour. Onward we go. Hey, okay. No. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra, what's up?
Hey, so, yeah, you know, I saw a fair amount of coverage for the event, to be honest. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, mind you, you know, I sort of stick in our side of the media, but nevertheless, there was some reporting on it.
It was, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people there covering it.
Well, and the photo, I mean, I looked at some of the photographs. Looked like you had a really interesting turnout.
It was, and it was. What was so cool was it was literally from all over the country.
Risking being ignorant, what are flag knobs or knobs? Anyway, it was some sign that I saw. I just thought that was kind of.
Oh, I'm not exactly sure. We had a lot of signs in the air representing the mountains that had been blown up.
Oh, okay. But,
and we had a lot of, and you know, some of those are named Knob instead of Mountain or whatever.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, that's what it was. And that just caught my attention. I thought Knob. Okay. That's good. That's a good one. Anyway. So no arrests for you, though.
Not for me.
That's good. I know what you're saying about that. I mean, that's sort of really. You got to be kind of...
No, because see, if I'd done that, I would have come home and Agnes would have said, you dumb... That was the power bill this month.
Right. No. I'm saying, you know, you got to be kind of prepared for that eventuality because that can cost in a lot of ways. But, so no hello from Obama, I guess.
Neither he nor, you know, we thought, you know, if it had been a better day, we were hoping Joe Biden might have been out waxing the Trans Am on the driveway, but no such luck.
No such luck, but...
Joe was busy getting upset about us whining liberals, I think.
Yeah, no, you know what? I am just, you know, just sort of stupefied by the continual admonishment of the base from these folks. It's like, you know what? We didn't cause, we're not controlling how you govern. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, right. It's not, I mean, we're trying, but it's, you know, we're not really being, not so much on the listen to side of it, no.
I mean, you know, to me, I was completely, you know, put off and blown away with Obama and his, you know, lecturing. It's like, if that's what you're doing to encourage the turnout, you know, you might want to go back to the chalkboard. Because it was just, it's just absurd and kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know what? I can guarantee you, I really was there Monday. There wasn't no whining. And the thing about Monday is, you know, in the past, you know, you think about anti-war protests in front of the White House during the Nixon administration and stuff. That's a bunch of people who weren't ever going to vote for a Richard Nixon. Okay? Well, there was a profound difference. Most of the people who were in that crowd had either voted green or voted for Barack Obama. And so it made it kind of an interesting moment. Because as Reverbo noted in his piece, you know, these were the people who were told to hope for change. And you know what? They were blowing up the mountains under George W. Bush. They're blowing up the mountains under Barack Obama, and well, you know, we're looking to change that.
Well, yeah, no, but it's just absurd. The sort of, you know, I think I'm inclined to believe some of the, you know, the more strident bloggers and that they're just trying to lay the groundwork to justify a horrible result. So they want to have us to kick and blame. You see what I mean? Because if there is no other explanation for the tactic, because it don't make no sense. Now, if they want to set up a straw man to blame when they lose all sorts of House seats, then why not dump on the left? We're always available for that.
Especially in light of the fact that we're largely imaginary.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that would explain the sort of incessant, because the fact that he's using his bully pulpit as millions of people being sucked into poverty is just mind-numbing to me. I'm like, dude, you got bigger concerns. like this massive amount of poverty that's engulfing this country. That should be his concern. And it's going to be his concern when it's knocking at his door. Some of these statistics and some of the stories, I mean, it seems to be out of control.
Well, the question is, how is it not already knocking at his door, Sandra?
Well, I don't really know why it's not, but the numbers and what's going on, things aren't getting better, okay? Let's just say that.
Washington Post headline, D.C. suburbs show disturbing increase in childhood poverty.
Oh, well. Oh.
I mean, isn't that on his doorstep?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, D.C., yeah, of course. I mean, that whole situation, it's just, well, it's so bad in D.C. that they got rid of their star, Fenty, whatever the mayor, you know, that guy got beat because I guess the sort of Obama policy isn't that appealing. Obama better watch out, because if all them black folks in D.C. said later to one of his clones, which is what the mayor of Washington, D.C. is, him and Cory from Newark and a handful of other black politicians, the new ones, that's not a good sign for Obama.
Well, check it out. In 2007, childhood poverty in the D.C. area was 31%. As of this report, it's 43%. That's a 12% increase in 3 years.
Yeah, no, no. Each percentage is just stunning. You know, we're not, you know, that kind of percentage change is unbelievably horrifying. But you know what? The main reason I called is because the EMEG story has taken this magnificent turn. That dumb bitch hired somebody, some illegal, and then fired them heartlessly, and that shit has blown up in her face. It's really suspicious, but Meg Whitman is in serious trouble, and I couldn't be happier, okay? The plutocrat is in trouble, because we don't need plutocrats.
Did she really send an email saying, you know, basically, I'll swear I never heard of you?
Yeah, you don't know me, I don't know you. I mean, she's trying to say it's not, but, you know, Gloria, whoever, that lawyer for all the...
Yeah, Allred, Gloria Allred.
All the depossessed women, she seems to always pop up, it's great. She produced the letter, I mean, the letter, you know, it looks authentic. Bitch is in trouble, because in this state, the Latino vote can wreck your ass. So, between the upset Latinos, even if the woman is illegal, the heartlessness is what's going to rub people the wrong way. It's like, oh, what, bitch? You had her for 9 years, and then you're going to dump her like that? I don't care what the status is. No, her story is very sympathetic.
Well, yeah.
And Meg Whitman is looking like the heartless plutocrat that she is, which shows that we don't want that in the state of California. I haven't been this happy about a political story in so long, Bob.
And you know what? I heard a soundbite somewhere along the way, driving to or from D.C., of Jerry Brown kind of fighting back. He said, listen, the last two times I was in the governor's office, we had budget surpluses. He said those don't happen magically. He said, I created those.
No, Jerry Brown probably released this story. This one I'm trying to tell you is hella suspicious. Okay?
Well, you know what? If that's the case, more power to him, because that's the kind of bare-knuckled stuff that's...
Who cares? I'm laughing, because what I'm saying is that you ain't heard boo from Jerry Brown. He's like, oh, no, I'm not spending my money. You know, people was hounding him for, where you at, where you at, where you at? No, let bitch spend until the world ends and then drop this on her? Oh, no. I've never seen anything like it.
Revenge is a dish that is best served cold?
You know, it's hilarious to watch a politician that's been at it for as long as Jerry Brown. It's like, oops, bitch, you might want to back the hell off. She looks like, I mean, she's spinning, blaming unions, blaming everybody. Girlfriend is out of control with, oh, they're out to, you know, all of a sudden now she a victim.
But and that's the thing. Another one of those conversations I had over the weekend. These teabaggers and so forth may have peaked a bit early. You know how when you're going into the playoffs, well, you know, it looks like they may be peaking too early in the playoffs. Well, the teabaggers may have peaked early too, because you've got the Meg Whitman thing. You've got this crazy ass McMahon woman up in Connecticut who said that she thinks we ought to look into eliminating or reducing the federal minimum wage in the middle of massive unemployment.
Yeah, Yeah, more plutocrat type behavior. It's like, yes, let's show these people what they are. They don't have a clue about what it takes to govern. That is why the whole idea of running a government like a business is a bunch of BS. Okay, I can't stress to you how sick of that canard I am.
Well, I mean, are we that far removed, Sandra, that we do not remember that in 2000 George W. Bush, dim leader, whatever, was running on the platform that he wanted to run the government, and he said it, I didn't, like Enron.
Yeah, no, it's absurd then, and it's equally absurd now when you look at the characters that you're confronted with, because, trust me, between all the youngins wanting to smoke weed and Meg Whitman and her Latino problem, these Republicans are in trouble up in here. Even as bad as what the Democrats are doing, this kind of stuff, I don't know, I don't want to get too excited, Bob, but I'm telling you, smoke some weed,
vote. Fire up the big blunt and go to the polls.
Oh, shit. No.
And that is not a video game. That's a voting machine. Go vote on paper.
Oh, my God. And it's on and cracking. Well, no, California has a decent Secretary of State, though, Bowen. She's actually fairly credible, you know, in sort of policing this as well as it can be policed, this electronic voting business. But anyway, and there's also 23, which is another sort of demoralizing initiative that's put up by, I guess, the Koch brothers and the sort of oil companies that's saying that we need to eliminate our emission standards until unemployment is at 5.5%. Unemployment in this state is almost 13% right now, officially.
But what's the linkage? Unemployed people fart more? I mean,
no, it's absurd, but that is the linkage they're trying to make, and brace yourself, it's running neck and neck. So not only will you not be able to work, but you won't breathe either.
Yeah, because the air in California, especially Southern California, is pristine, right?
Well, it's a lot better than, I mean, in the 70s.
It's better than it has been, sure.
No, in the 70s, it was horrible. And with the different movements that have happened in California, the air is so much more cleaner now. But these people are trying to put an end to a nascent green economy that's sort of booming here. You know, it's doing a lot better here than other places. But these cop people, who I'm just like, are you kidding me with these people?
Those Koch, whatever, those brothers are all over this country. They're like the bedbug problem. I recently found out they're in West Virginia.
Yeah, no, they're everywhere, and the exposure is well welcome because, you know, people need to realize what is that exactly going on in this country. And, you know, if they're going to put up idiots like E-Meg and these other fake successful people who they've been rich for so damn long, they think they're immune. Well, it's like, wake the hell up. I can't tell you just how pleased. I mean, this E-Meg shit is just right on time. You see what I'm saying?
I'm loving the word, E-Meg.
Oh, shit, that bitch thinks she was going to walk in. A walk. You see what I mean? With her firing 40% of the state workers and cut to provide more tax breaks for her rich friends. It's like, wake the hell up. I mean, these people are not interested in governing. They just want to dismantle and provide the public trough to their friends. That Farina person, she ain't going to make it either. Her ass is starting to fall in the polls.
Barbara Boxer is no political novice.
She has chewed up a mini.
And she's like, you know, I've been sort of just kind of waiting for her to take the gloves off.
No, the weed. I'm sorry to keep going back to that, but I'm telling you.
No, I'm tickled to death that that's on the ballot because I think we talked about it last week. Finally, liberals and progressives have something on the ballot that is doing for the ballot what right-wing hate did for them.
Right, and they need to get that shit on state by state, okay? That needs to be parse and parcel. If Obama Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, that's the, actually, you know what? I see the people who plan on running in 2012. Shit, unless Obama is challenged on our side, how the hell are they going to lose? Newt Gingrich? Come on, man.
Yeah, Mitt Romney with his dog strapped to the top of the car? Willard?
That's not a rerun of that. He was so dismal. And all he does is take apart companies and get people fired. So I'm just saying, but the Democrats are so miserable. I can't even believe some of the things they're doing. Like, not allowing.
Well, I saw today that Sestak is within striking distance of Toomey. Things are not as good for Rand Paul as he might have thought. Sharon Angle has completely come unglued. You know, because I missed a lot while I was gone. I didn't have a lot of time to check with the usual places I read. But I did catch the story out there that it turns out that Sharon Angle and her husband are on government health care.
Well, you know, isn't it always the case? I mean, you cannot run this anarchy libertarian BS because it don't work. And all you have to do is scratch the surface with Rand Paul. It's like, oh, okay, but you get all kinds of payments from Medicare. So what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? They cannot run this libertarian, which is anarchy. It's BS. It's for us, not them.
Yes.
You know. Anyway, I don't mean to. I'm just too excited about the California scene, so I didn't mean to dominate it, but I just have to share because, email.
Oh, we love it when you share.
No, but she's horrible, okay? She's one of the most despicable polls I've seen in a long time. She's hateful. She's racist. She hates government. So why are you wanting to be in it? You see what I'm saying? All the things you can possibly think that's wrong is her. I hate her. You know, she's one of these sort of overprivileged white women, along with her little other friend. You know, and not to say that everybody else who's running isn't white, but just, with her sons, they got done for calling people niggers up in whatever Ivy League school they went to. I mean,
oh, nice.
Her family is wretched.
She's, in other words, she's having her Laura Schlesinger moment?
Yeah, well, no, listen, she gonna use her million to try to run it, but at the moment, she is scrambling, and it couldn't be, it's nothing worse than offending the Latino vote right now because the people mad.
You kind of got a right to be, maybe?
Yeah, they hella mad. And they're starting to learn how to vote. See, before in California, black people were the ones to vote, you know, like 70%. But whereas Latinos is like maybe 34% within their group. But that's moving up.
And that should not work as a net positive for people who hate them.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, you know, you can't run on a hate immigrants to the right and expect to come to the general election thinking that people don't know what time it is with your racist ass.
You know what? The other thing, I don't know if you got into the program early enough, but you have got to go over to southernstudies.org and read the story about this Charles Steele guy.
No, I missed that. Who's this?
Oh, this guy, he was the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and now he's become a shill for basically Big Coal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, arguing that coal ash should not be regulated because it's when we stop poisoning poor people, it's hard on them. I mean, this is forgive me for saying it, but this is some serious Uncle Tomery.
Okay, Jill, I'm about to ask you. I'm thinking, oh, this must be somebody black. Is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, listen, between that and the horrible black congressional caucus, which is totally corporate now. I mean, I don't even recognize that group. This doesn't surprise me. And since we are talking about Negroes, okay, up to 30 boys might be inquiring about our Bishop Long. I knew it. I knew this shit would blow up. He is done.
They're out of I heard some of the coverage driving out of town the other day and how he remarked, I will fight this.
Yeah, but he didn't deny it, though.
It was, well, it was that, that's the thing. It was one of those Woodward and Bernstein non-denial denials.
Exactly. You know what? I mean, look at it. And trust me, I don't know. It's so slimy. In fact, why is some preacher driving around a Bentley? I mean, the questions, the black community, they need to wake up and ask a few questions. This whole setup is despicable. Maybe it'll start a conversation because...
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I black or white, either one. I just can't see showing up and pulling up in the mega church parking lot in your broke down, busted up, rusted out 1989 the Chevy Cavalier and going in the door knowing that there's a man on stage talking to you who's rolling away in a Bentley or flying off in a Gulfstream.
It's absurd. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, once again, it's another wake up community moment, you know? I mean, in Bell, California, they rounded up some corrupt assholes. So, I mean, maybe it'll just extend. You know that whole Bell, California.
Yeah, that was kind of blew me away.
Yeah, that was off the hook, and that was like, oh, snap. Uh-oh. You know? Anyway, it was, I mean, there's so much going on. The only other thing I wanted to touch on, because I can't even believe it, is... Let me get this straight. Obama's talking about countries, if we don't want to live in a country that undermines civil rights, and this bitch is trying to kill Americans around the world?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, are you kidding me with this? I mean, is this because they think Americans are so stupid that we don't know about what's going on? No. This man is trying to say that the executive branch is untouchable and they can kill whoever the hell they want.
You know, something happens when you get in the office. All of a sudden, what looked like a good idea to powers that were, and historically speaking, you know, this isn't anything new. We've been over this.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson was all about the abuse of the presidency by John Adams.
Until he bought half a continent. Yeah.
Right, and all of a sudden that didn't feel like abuse anymore. That felt like it's good to be the president.
And also because of the vagueness of the Constitution, the presidency has grown with every character. We know the nature of the office, but to say that a court can't have any say over what an executive can do as far as killing citizens, listen, are we so confused and distracted that, I mean, that is the most disturbing story of all. For me right now is, oh, wait.
Well, the most disturbing part of it is that I thought it had been dealt with.
No. It is being dealt with. This is just...
No, I mean, I thought it was dealt with a long time ago when we said that, you know, you can't go out and assassinate foreign leaders.
Well, no, exactly. But now...
But apparently, if you're not a leader, it's okay?
Well, and not only that, if you looked at that that brief, another thing that really was disturbing was... All of a sudden, he's confusing the war-making powers. Now, I know that the Congress haven't declared a war since World War II, but that don't make it right. So he's trying to say that the courts can't interfere in the executive plus Congress's ability to make war. Have you noticed that now that has been sort of bridged, and now the executive has been elevated to making war powers? I mean... We are in a sorry state because all that is just...
Well, I'm sure you saw the report that came out from the UN High Commission on Human Rights about young Furkan Dogan. Remember?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, he was executed.
He was killed execution style, as well as were five other Turkish citizens aboard the Mavi Marmara.
Exactly. No, I saw that report. I was just shaking my head thinking, and what?
Right. Because we're going to... What did we do? Did we object in the strongest terms possible to the Israeli embassy?
No, but see, keep in mind that they want to kill us. So why should we be surprised? I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, these are the Muslims and all. That's some BS. That's an American citizen. That means you, me... Or anybody else, it's okay for Obama and whoever follows him to do that? Where's the outrage? Is the Constitution...
Well, we're protecting America from the terrorists who hate us.
Right, but the Constitution is not in play anymore.
No, the Constitution is at best a
it's an inconvenience.
And not only that, but another thing that's really disturbing is this sort of, the little sort of soap opera that's coming out of that Bob Woodward. That's so disturbing, too, because it's like, oh, okay, Robert Gates is in charge and telling Obama what the hell to do.
I don't think that's an unfair assessment.
He said the other day that we'll never get out of Afghanistan. That was the latest comment. I don't know if you heard that one.
No, I missed that, but I'm not surprised. Look, yeah. I don't know if we will.
Well, it's too much profit. Too much profit.
I mean, look, it's hard to forget those stories that cropped up a few months back about how suddenly we realized that Afghanistan has vast stores of natural resources that we just can't get somewhere else. Then there's that story that comes out about how China has cut off all the rare earth elements to Japan.
What? They're going to cut it off to everybody.
Right, and guess what? Afghanistan got some of them.
Yeah, no. Listen, the sort of melting of the executive with the Pentagon and the lack of civilian command control, I mean, all that is, it doesn't bode well for us as a liberal democracy.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, you can sort of appreciate these stories, too. That's why, you know.
Exactly. Well, like I said, coming back to the Furkan Dogan thing, the kid, no guns on him, 19 years old. I got a picture of him in front of me. You wouldn't think twice about having him into your home. Just a nice American kid.
Little cutie pie, actually. I saw him, yeah.
And he's standing there videoing. He gets shot twice in the head, once in the back, once in the left leg, once in the foot. And then when the Israeli soldiers get up to him, he's laying there motionless on the ground, and they put one in his head. And the determination was made not sort of at a distance, because they analyzed the powder burns on his face. It was done point blank. He was lying on the deck in a conscious or semi-conscious state for some time, and then an Israeli soldier came up and put a bullet right through his face.
I know, it's incredible, and it's just like, huh? And we get that report, and it just what? It's just going to sit out there and go down the memory hole? Or the Congress is going to pass some other resolution about how Israel must defend itself?
See, it just makes it makes my blood run cold. It makes blood rise into my eyes. The language from the report. It says the killings can be characterized as extra legal, arbitrary, and summary executions. Meanwhile, the story I'm reading at Truth Out also notes the administration has remained silent about the killing of Furkan Dogan.
Well, they're not. I mean, they got to, you know, that's the, Israel is, you know, an ally and a partner in, I guess, state-sponsored terrorism, because that's what the U.S. is advocating when they want to be taking out citizens. I'm sorry, I am, like, so stuck on that one, because it's like, between that and the, you heard about the FBI raiding war, you know, peace activists? And you heard about that story?
Yes.
Well, okay, so I'm sure, I know I wasn't talking to you then, but I'm sure if I had a, you know, about the Patriot Act and how it's going to be quickly going to be turned against us. What the hell was that? They're using the Patriot Act now to justify attacking peace activists and people who talk to other groups around the world involved in peace activism, trying to say it's material support for terrorism. So where are we at, Bob?
I think you know better, as well or better than I do. It's a short word. It's two syllables. It's called fascism.
Oh, God. But I don't know. I just am sort of, you know, I think, you know, the election and all that, but I got to keep my eye on this security state stuff. It's
I think you do, and I think it behooves all of us to do that.
it's really quite disturbing to me, especially with the hypocrisy of Obama talking about we need to protect our civil liberties out of one side of his mouth and doing something else.
Who's civil? I'd say Furkan Dogan's civil liberties are not very well. They're pretty much taken care of.
Well, no, but see, I understand you hit on that, too, because you're like, okay, so where is the justice for this American?
I mean, don't you at least haul the Israeli ambassador to the White House and say, listen, don't ever let that happen again?
Something. You don't threaten the billions? I mean, the U.S. has endless tools, weapons, if you want to use that word, to punish Israel with. But no, they make fake peace talks with some representative of the Palestinians who don't represent squat.
Right.
Telling him he has to do this, that, or another, and build it right in East Jerusalem, right under his nose. Like, what are you going to do about it? Sit at the table. Sit down. You know, it's just disturbing.
And what it says to me, more than anything else, is that there's this double standard at work. That, you know, so that you can do this disconnect thing where you talk out of one side of your mouth about civil liberties and order and describe yourself as being empowered to order the killings extra legal, extra judicial of people around the world.
And as you get more and more people sucked into soul-killing poverty, you know, you even have more latitude to continue that. I mean, you have to draw all connect all the dots with this. I mean, the sort of economic deprivation that's going on just feeds into, our loss of liberty, really.
And there you are. And do you take any hope? I mean, I know I'm a skeptic and everything, Sandra, but do you take any hope in the departure of Rahm Emanuel?
Listen, goodbye. And the thing about him is that, he's so gruesome. He wants to go and run for mayor of Chicago. God, I got too bad for Chicago.
Yeah, I do feel bad for him.
He seems to be slimy, but I don't care because the replacements, there seem to be an endless line of these sort of corporatist, centrist, mealy-mouthed Democrats.
Well, the guy that's replacing him, I can't remember his name right offhand, but really, the guy was the chief of staff for Tom Daschle.
Oh, right. Daschle, who made his million lobbying for healthcare companies. Right.
But not just that. He couldn't help. He couldn't keep his boss in office, and he was the Senate Majority Leader. That's tough.
Oh, no. And so also the never-ending squawk about how we have to replace Summer with some corporate toady too.
Yeah.
You know, so no, I don't really know. I mean, like I said, all the bitching I do, of course, I'm going to have to vote,
Well, okay, so if the Democrats should happen to lose the House or the Senate or both, how long do you think it'll take for a joint congressional resolution calling on President Obama to bomb Iran?
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
we'll take.
You know, I know. I understand that it can really get worse. So I know what I have to do. But it still isn't good what's going on. And I think whoever's governing, if this unemployment continues, it's just going to be a whole, you know, there isn't going to be no left-right. It's going to be the poor and the rich. You know?
Yeah, with a sort of withering, dying, dead middle class. And you know, they're not going to go upward. They're going to go downward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the trend is pointing down. All indicators. We went through all this. I mean, you know, there's a certain formula of no stagnant wages replacing by credit. Credit's gone. So. And it goes from there. Hey, listen, I saw that you were like number 47 or something on ESPN.
Yeah, I crawled up to number 46 before the voting ended.
Oh, 46. Okay, so now you would have to gotten into the top 10. Is that
No. It's just the number one vote getter gets a 10% bump in the scoring. but it might not even be the number one vote getter might not even be in the top 10. Now there's scoring based on a 30-30-30-10 scale by a bunch of editors from HarperCollins. And then whoever's in that top 10 stack, Mr. Bourdain picks his favorite.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still in the running. We're done with the voting, but I'm still in the running.
Okay, so the voting, yeah. Well, shit, I guess you have to just wait and see. When do they come out with the final?
Notifications are as of November 1.
Oh, okay, that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a month away. By the way, I'm being told that it could be that this guy who's replacing Rahm Emanuel was actually Obama's first choice for chief of staff in the first place.
Oh.
But but Rahm came barking along, and next thing you know, his dad's telling people, listen, Obama's not going to be anti-Israel. My son's his chief of staff. He's not some Arab washing the floors.
Oh, right, yeah. Just sort of the greatest hits from this freak. Oh, no. Well, like I said, I guess, Obama has to make some move because he's going into his election, right?
Right. And
anyway.
maybe it's a step forward. You hate to, it's kind of a knockwood moment, but you don't want to say it couldn't get any worse than Rahm.
Well, no. I'd like to think that these two, Summers and Emanuel leaving is I don't know what it is, but it's not bad. Let's just say that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to let you go, but I have to ask you, though, what do you think about Michael Vick? What happened?
I got to tell you, I was totally out of the loop. What did happen?
Now that fool is number one. He's the quarterback now. That's all. I just think it's interesting.
I think it goes to prove that there is not a correlation between one's willingness to engage in dogfighting and one's ability to play quarterback.
And serve time in jail. That may have made his ass better from the looks of it.
I hear they got great weight rooms there.
Shut up anyway. But no, it's just kind of funny to look at because people are starting to buy the jerseys again. I mean, it's funny how winning.
Look, if Philadelphia could win with Adolf Hitler at quarterback, the entire city of Philadelphia would be wearing little Charlie Chaplin mustaches.
No. I suppose that's the case with all sports. And one other sports thing, that despicable LeBron James used the race card. He sure did.
No.
And I said, the only color card you need to use is green, you motherfucker.
Yep.
Can't stand him.
It's the green people. It's the gold people. I've said it all along.
No. So for him to do that, it's like he's beyond despicable. Sorry. I just was like.
Okay, now I got to go read up on what LeBron did.
Oh, yeah, you got to read that because that was like, it's just too much, because if it's an act, it's a good one because he has turned out to be villain number one. I'll be watching.
And you know what? The NBA is happy for that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if that's what they're trying to do, it's working because he needs to keep his trap shut. Because every time he opens it up, yuck.
Yeah. It's like David in Tennessee saying, Vic has resurrected himself as a player and for the short term as a human being even. So, let for once, maybe we let the criminal justice system. It had its day. He paid his debt to society. Now let's see if he can get paid.
Oh, and the 49ers suck, just like I said.
Yeah, they can't. They not so much.
Oh my God! Anyway, listen, I've like monopolized big time, and I'm really sort of a bit out of control today. But I'll let you go.
All right, Sandra, you have a good evening.
Okay. Bye.
Later. Bye now. And a couple of updates before we move along. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got the stay on the line. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get all the phone calls in. Promise. We're going to take a break. Kind of got to take a break. Mainly because we've got, it's Thursday. See, for me, it's Monday, but it's Thursday for you. Whew! Like I said, whew! We've got to take a little bit of a break and, because being Thursday, we have the Green News Report on the way. And with that, I hate to miss an installment of the Green News Report. You never know I don't know. Did Brad and Desi have anything to say? I wasn't here to play it. Who would know about what happened in D.C. on Monday? Maybe it'll be in this evening show. Who knows? But we've got to do the Green News Report. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. And that's how you get to the program. Email comes in to bobkincaid@gmail.com. And we will, come to your calls right after that. I did have a clarification for you, because I just got this in from Maura. And this is important, because we talked about it last week. It's taken a while to get there, but guess what? Headline, Chambliss staffer fired for anti-gay blog comment. And the reason I mention this to you, I don't want to forget this, because this ties into something that Tony said a little bit ago. He said they leave one office, these Capitol Hill staffers in this little bubble world, they leave their job in one place and they get a job in another. I bet this guy already has a job somewhere. Georgia Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss, has fired a staffer who left an anti-gay comment on a blog reporting on the thwarted legislative effort to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Remember, this is the guy who left at the Joe My God blog, the comment, All Fags Must Die. Yeah. Chambliss's office had turned over the investigation into who made the remark, which blogger Joe Jervis traced to the senator's office to the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms. Quote, the office of the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms has concluded its investigation, and this is from Senator Chambliss, so I'm reading it wrong. The office of the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms has concluded its investigation, and I responded to that report immediately with the removal of a member of my staff. I commend the Sergeant-at-Arms, Terrence Gaynor, and his staff for their very thorough and professional work. That was the statement Senator Chambliss issued today. I have called Mr. Jervis, the blog's author, and apologized to him personally. And I'm sorry for the hurt this incident has caused. Regardless of one's position on issues and policies, such comments are simply unacceptable, are not befitting those who work in the U.S. Senate, and I will not tolerate them from my staff. Damn, that's almost word for word for what I said the press release would say. Meanwhile, Senator Saxby Chambliss, who created the atmosphere of bigotry, prejudice, fear, and hate inside his office, with his words, I'm sure, inside his office, because they are damn sure his words on the floor of the United States Senate. Senator Saxby Chambliss, who, of course, had a political ad that morphed a Vietnam War hero who got blown to pieces on the battlefield, he morphed him into Osama bin Laden's face. Yeah, I know. Well, he didn't resign, but he should have. And so help me God, for as long as the majority of the voters in Georgia return that sick, bigoted freak to office, then I say that the majority of voters in the state of Georgia are a bunch of sick, bigoted freaks themselves. They need to take care of this, the voters of Georgia. But then again, that would also require having a viable Democratic Party in Georgia, and frankly, I don't know if that exists. But yeah, true to form, as predicted, and guess what? The dude that got fired, whose name was not in the story, how about that? Shouldn't we know who the freak was? Shouldn't we know who the bigot was? Well, no, we can't put that out there for public consumption, because he's probably already got a job in Coburn's office, or Inhofe's office, or DeMint's office, or Chinless Mitch McConnell's office. It ain't that he's a bad fella, he just got caught, gosh darn it. Isn't that how it works? Yeah, that's how it works. So we will run along and come back with your calls after the Green News Report. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, September 30th, 2010.
Coal protests around the world.
The last 6 months have been very much a laboratory of learning.
New rules for offshore drilling. Plus,
I want to talk about the corruption of the democratic process and about forces willing to sabotage this country's economic future for private gain.
The governator slams big oil and corporate campaign cash.
And hits it out of the park. All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Terrible news from the animal kingdom. Researchers say that 50 to 80% of the world's koala population is suffering from chlamydia. Experts fear that if a vaccine isn't found soon, the koala may become extinct. Which brings us to threat number two. Whoever is a koala, knock it off. Not funny.
No comment. This is your Green News Report.
Quick side note, koalas, do the right thing and alert your previous partners.
The Green News Report is sponsored by you. Yes, you. We rely on you to keep the Green News Report on your mainstream airwaves. Want green news that isn't boring and tells the truth? Please stop by greennews.bradblog.com and contribute today. You can also PayPal us at greennews@bradblog.com. Thank you for your support. Okay, Desi Doyen, it has cooled down here in Los Angeles, thankfully, from the all-time record heat of 113 a few days ago out here at the end of September, which we reported earlier this week, but we didn't report the fact that it actually broke the thermometer in downtown Los Angeles, the one that had been installed in 1877, so it may have gone even higher than 113 degrees out here.
But we'll never know.
But we'll never know. Extraordinary. And of course, as we always point out, any one weather event does not equal climate change per se. But given the fact that Fox News goes around the clock reporting, you know, record lows as if it debunks global warming, thought it would be a good idea to point out that it was 113 out here at the end of September. For what it's worth, and also, yeah, it is so far the hottest year on record. What do you have for us today, Des?
Over 100 people were arrested this week, including NASA scientist Dr. James Hansen, at a demonstration at the White House to stop mountaintop removal coal mining. Mountaintop removal coal mining is a particularly destructive form of strip mining that involves literally blowing off the tops of mountains and dumping the debris into valleys and streams below, destroying them. Activists with Appalachia Rising are calling on the Obama administration to stop issuing permits for mountaintop removal coal mining and to ban the practice altogether. Meanwhile, climate activists in Australia managed to close down the world's largest coal port, temporarily halting shipments of coal. Activists from the environmental group Rising Tide chained themselves to loading equipment at the port. They're calling on the Australian government to move away from coal and pass climate change legislation. Speaking of the Obama administration, they released the latest set of new requirements for offshore oil drillers on Thursday. U.S. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar unveiled new regulations aimed at reshaping the nation's offshore drilling industry in the wake of the BP oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Salazar also announced the temporary moratorium on offshore drilling will stay in place, which won't go over well with Senator Mary Landrieu, Democrat of Louisiana, who has put a hold on President Obama's nominee to head the Office of the Management of the Budget until the moratorium on deep water drilling is lifted.
And this is despite the fact that studies have shown that while the oil industry and Mary Landrieu, the Democrat down there, have been yelling and screaming that this is going to cost thousands of jobs, closing these oil drilling platforms for a few months, in fact, they haven't cost all of those jobs, have they?
No, they have not, and the moratorium will be lifted on November 30th anyway.
I think that we have had enough wars in the Middle East because of oil. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I do, and that was an incredible speech by the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, this week.
Yes, it was an incredible speech this week. As you heard, the Republican governor of California is coming out against efforts by oil companies to halt California's landmark global warming law and against the influence of corporate cash exploiting the electoral system.
Oil companies like Valero and DeSoro and Frontier and Koch Industries are blatantly trying to manipulate the will of the people and the public good.
Governor Schwarzenegger slammed the Texas oil companies spending millions to pass California's Proposition 23, a statewide ballot initiative that seeks to suspend implementation of California's law to reduce emissions until unemployment falls to a ridiculously low level.
Does anyone really believe that these companies, out of the goodness of their black oil hearts, are spending millions and millions of dollars to protect jobs?
As the governor points out, Proposition 23 is a serious threat to California's blooming clean energy economy.
Credit where it's due. He called these guys out, these Texas oil companies, cynically coming into this state, spending millions to undo a popular law supported by two-thirds of the folks in California, and they're doing it with all sorts of propaganda across the airwaves. It is just despicable. You can hear the entire speech at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Money.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Did you hear that? Did you hear Arnold saying the things Arnold was saying? Holy crap. I got to tune into Arnold Schwarzenegger to hear somebody sounding like a liberal where oil companies are concerned? The world is in worse shape than perhaps I even dared contemplate. No, really. Arnold? That's another day in upside-down world. But what's the surprise? You know, I talked a lot at the beginning of the program about the difference between AstroTurf organizations and real grassroots. You know something, and we're going to have to work on this for the next one. You know what we didn't have at Appalachia Rising on Monday? You know what we didn't have? Coloring books. We didn't have coloring books. The Friends of Coal got coloring books for their children to learn how coal... Of course, it really doesn't require much more than a black crayon, but, you know, whatever. They had coloring books. And if you ever wanted proof that AstroTurf is a sort of self-perpetuating thing, guess who else also has a coloring book now? And don't think they don't share ideas. It's being called A Wonderful Book of the Tea Party for Kids. many thousands of the Tea Party coloring book for kids have already been sold. It's got puzzles and mazes and connect the dots, but apparently no word search puzzles in it because, well, you have to be able to spell in order to do a word search, and, well, teabaggers can't spell. So no word search for their little teabagging children. Coloring books. Coloring books. The Fockers have had a coloring book for ages now. No, really, they have. But see, that's the thing that that AstroTurf money can get you. That's another difference between Appalachia Rising and what we saw at Appalachia Rising and what we saw or what you can see at any given teabagging rally. While there are lots of handmade misspelled signs at your average teabagging rally, there's also a lot of professionally printed signs. Tons of them. Not a one this past Monday. Every sign, and I think this is actually a bigger indicator than some other things. Every sign had the loving labor of human hands and that most precious of all resources, human time, put into them. And yes, they were all spelled correctly. Nothing mass-produced. Every sign of every mountain that had been blown up was done by hand. The painting, the markers, whatever, was all done by hand. Because I suppose in many ways it's an indication of the fact that we realize that no one will do for us, that we must, in fact, do for ourselves. So, you know, it's see, that's the thing. I'm still processing what went on. It was one of the most profound things, short of the birth of my children, that I have ever experienced. It was that amazing. The next time we do something like this, God Almighty, walk, crawl, run, do what you have to do to be there. Because you know what? If we can stop this, and we will, if we can stop corporate criminals and thugs from doing this to Appalachia, we can stop the other thuggery all around the country. You see, the day that we were doing this was the anniversary. It was the anniversary of a sermon, a prayer that was given before the battle. I'm looking it up here. Of King's Mountain, in which the revolution was saved, in which American freedom was saved. And it was amazing. It stirred the men, the Overmountain men, otherwise known as drunk hillbillies. It stirred them to go and whip the English and save the idea of American freedom. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And it's you know, it's full of the usual religious claptrap. But it's also got important stuff in it about why things like freedom are worthwhile. So that was that day. And don't think the historic significance was lost on us. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Hey, Brother Luke, what's up?
Well, let's see. I see Mr. Schwarzenegger finally got religion now that he can see the end of his term in sight.
Isn't it amazing how that happens?
Well, it's the same thing, you know, with Obama right now. Isn't it amazing? He's out there on the campaign trail. Where you been for the last 2 years? You should have been doing this every damn weekend. You know, it's like amazing how all of a sudden you decide to go out and fight when the last 2 years you've turned around and showed him your backsides. Oh, you know, it just blows your mind. Oh, the best one I think of the day still has to be watching the New York governor's race where we see Mr. Palladino finding his inner Tony Soprano.
Yeah, he's going to punch out a reporter now?
The thing was,
or
post. He's going to punch out a Rupert man. Ooh. You know, it wasn't somebody from the Times. This is somebody from the Post. Which kind of blows your mind. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, you were talking earlier about the FBI and the thing about the peace activists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it real odd? I ain't heard them talking about them investigating any teabaggers. You know, I ain't heard them trying to sneak people into the teabagging group, see what they're up to.
No, not so much.
Just because they show up at places carrying their automatic weapons. Oh, shoot.
Armed to the teeth, right.
You know, I still go back to that thing I think it was Ted Rall did. You know, said, what if the Tea Party was black? You know, I still think that's one that when you read it, you'll really realize what if this were 180 degrees about what would be happening. If all of a sudden it was I won't say the Black Panthers, but some group among African Americans that were doing the same thing, and, you know, we're going to show up now at the rallies carrying weapons.
Yeah, I'm corrected now. The thing that Palladino said, he didn't say he was going to punch him out. He said he was going to take him out.
Take him out. That's what I mean.
That's horse's head. That's cement shoes stuff.
I mean, that's the one the next time we have one, you better watch the five guys sitting over in the corner, each of them holding a baseball bat. Because they're wanting to come over and play with you, and your name has now been changed to Pinata. You know, oh, God. We saw the thing this week where it was the Pew poll where they were talking about, about the trusted people in the news.
Oh, really? I saw the Pew poll about religion.
That was a good one, too.
Well, I love that one because I took the same quiz that the rest of America took, Luke.
Okay.
And I want you to know that I have been certified, and I quit that. I have been certified by the Pew Research Center as smarter than 99% of the American people where religion is concerned.
Oh, sure.
I answered the 15 questions, and I got all 15 correct.
You know, it's amazing how ignorant people are on just simple things. But I thought a minute ago about that they had one on the media. And you know how it is, most trusted man in the media came out to be the big giant head. Wait a minute, now understand this, now let me explain it. And I think it was the big giant head, and I can't remember who was second, but the fat man came in third. But of course, I read something today where, oh, by the way, if you read into this thing where they also said they didn't know who Rachel Maddow and anybody on MSNBC was, and there were only like 30% of them, you know, that like Jon Stewart, and it's like, well, now you have to go into this thing and find out that, oh, by the way, the average age of the people taking this poll was 55 to 64.
Oh, okay, so I'm only smarter than 99% of 55 to 64-year-olds concerning religion. The media one, sorry.
The media one. Now, I don't know about the other one, but this was on the media one, and I'm just sitting there going, you know, guys, you really have to share this part with us. Because it makes a whole lot of difference. You know, it's like, what was it one time somebody said, I think it was Oberman one time said, you know, Bello's got a big audience, but he better hurry because they're dying off real quick. You know, because most of Bill's audience is in the over 55 group. So, but, one thing to mention before I forget it, because this weekend CNN's actually going to look at the right-wingers. They're having some special called Right on the Edge.
I wonder if that's part of what, well, never, no, that,
well,
that, that you, you know what I'm thinking about, the James O'Keefe scam.
That was the next one I was bringing up. You know, I'm just curious about this whole thing. I'm sitting there going with this whole thing with O'Keefe, and I'm just sitting there going, can we not just stick him under a jail and be done with it? I mean, get him for attempted fraud or a conspiracy to defraud or something. I mean, this sounds like a guy that needs to be taken out. I'm sorry. I mean,
but there's a larger issue at work.
Oh.
And that is the fact that CNN was once again, with knowing that they were being invited to something with James O'Keefe, they were participating in something with James O'Keefe. I'm not real happy with Bill Maher right now either.
Which one on Bill? I'm sorry.
He had Andrew Breitbart on the show and referred to him as a journalist.
I know. Well, you know that tonight is the second part. He's on the Big Giant Head show tonight. And we'll see. I'm just curious if Bill's got his tapes, and when Big Giant Head puts out his puts him on the website, you know, with the entire interview. I'm just curious if Bill will go along and see what parts of it that the Big Giant Head cuts out, you know, just in case. But he wouldn't do that, would he?
I don't think Bill will say anything I don't think Maher will say anything that Big Giant Head will need to cut out.
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, if you're going to go on these shows, anybody out there that listens, if you're going to go on any of their shows, don't just sit there and take it. I'm sorry, you know, I want somebody to go up there. I think the best one today that I read was that thing I sent you about Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, where essentially one of the things Bernie said was, and I agree with him, is I'm worried about some of this stuff with Biden out there if we're being set up as the fall guys. You know, if the Democrats lose the House or the Senate, it's all them. So it's only people on the far left's fault. You know.
Well, and like I said in talking with Sandra, Luke, all the easier to do it to us because we are largely imaginary.
Yeah.
There's no there is a monolithic right.
Yeah.
But there is no monolithic left. And just backing up to Bill Maher for a minute, I sort of took inventory. And have you noticed that he's made, it seems, a lot more right-wingers famous than left-wingers?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Michael Moore's already famous when he comes on the show. Mm-hmm. Ariana is already famous when she comes on the show. He made a star out of Christine O'Donnell. He's made a star out of Breitbart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, you know.
I mean, he made Anthrax Coulter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that to me, that's still the one. I mean, I listen to Bill. I like Bill. But, you know, that's one of the ones that every time I listen to him, I'm just like, Bill, you keep telling me how you have to have her on. I just want to know why.
Because she's good for ratings. She comes on and says, these right-wingers come on and say crazy crap.
Well, let's see, I pulled it up here while we're talking. This week, his guest star, he's going to have actor-comedian David Cross, journalist Joe Klein, or the two interviews. I don't know which is the first, which is the later. And his panelists are Ariana Huffington.
Of course.
Nora O'Donnell and Cornel West. This could be fun.
I can take Cornel.
I was going to say, well, you know, what was the one he had on a couple of years ago? We had Cornel West and, who was it? Was it John Legend or, he had two or three of them on there, and it was just hilarious. It was one of them ones that's sort of like, oh, I've got that somewhere on tape, I hope, because, I mean, it was just,
but see, there's something deeper working here, and that is the fact that there is a difference between doing broadcasting to impart information and share ideas,
well, you know,
and be funny along the way at the same time, and doing shows. Look, whether it's a right winger arguing with a left winger or a left winger arguing with a right winger, depending on whose show it is, you tune in for the same reason that people go to NASCAR races. To watch something crash and burn.
Well, a minute ago you were talking about Bill. Now just remember what we've been having with our morning shows. I mean, I still want ABC to explain to me why every time we turn around we have to have the Big Giant Head on. You know, Good Morning America, it seems like they have him on every couple of weeks. And I'm sitting there going, that's fine, you know. Go down to Atlanta to some fellow named Malloy. Why don't you put him on every once in a while? He'll really wear y'all out. You know, or if I say, if y'all want to do it a little later in the day, go out to the West Coast or some fellow named Hartman. Put him on.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, there's different people you can put on. You know what I mean? There's lots of choices out there for people to put on. It's like, but why is it that every time we turn around, we get to see, like, the Big Giant Head, or we get to see Lonesome Roads, or we even get to see that life support system for the haircut? You know. And it's you know, I agree with something that Keith Olbermann's been doing the last couple of days. You know what our new name for them is, don't you?
What?
Fox Pack. Because they're not a news organization.
They're a pack.
I mean, that's what they are. They're an infomercial.
I still like Radio Rwanda, but then again, I'm biased.
Well, I agree, but like I said, I heard him start doing that one, and I got thinking about it, and I went, yo, that's pretty good. You know,
oh, and I'm being told that Marty is telling me, just dropped me a note telling me that Hartman has moved to D.C.
Oh. I've not been able to listen for a while. They've changed our streaming thing at work, and I cannot pick him up anymore.
Nice.
I bet you could
get the fat man if you wanted to, though.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have to worry about the computer on that. He's on, like, so many damn stations.
Oh, well, the touche.
I mean, I could pick him up on my molars, you know how that is.
Oh, Jesus.
If I do that, I'm going to start ripping teeth out, but, you know. But you know what I mean? But it's one of those things, it's like, you know.
Oh, you mean like when Gilligan was bringing in the shortwave radio?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it's one of the things, it's like, you know, it's the same way up here, right? It's like you can turn on the radio and it's like, find a station that isn't carrying a right winger. You know, that's the more, like a drinking game, you know, that'd be the one. Let's see if you can find a station that isn't carrying one of the right wingers on it. Come on!
Precisely. Exactly.
But I'm going to let you go, and I know you got people to talk to.
All right, Luke, good hearing from you, brother.
Hey, I was going to say, let's check that out this weekend on CNN and see what kind of, whitewashing they do on this.
It should be interesting. Maybe now that they've been burned, they'll be a little less friendly.
Oh, no. You know, they're worse. I mean, they're like, excuse the term, and I'm sorry to bring this up. They're like an abused
spouse.
Why? Yeah. I mean, they just come back for more.
Hey, hit me again. I can put a little stank on it. Yeah, I know exactly.
I know.
Take it easy, Luke.
Good evening.
Bye now.
Bye.
Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up, Cossack?
Not much. How about you?
I'm wore out, but I'm back, and I'm home, and I'm happy to be behind the microphone.
Well, I agree that glad we don't have to storm the Bastille to blow the door up and get you out.
You guys were not actually thinking that I was. I was in my pseudo journalist hat thing. I can't go running around getting arrested.
Well, having had a little bit of exposure to these things, you don't have to do anything to get arrested.
Oh, but see, they cordoned off the area with police line do not cross. And one of our good friends, a photographer, looked at the officer and said, so I can't go in there and take pictures? He says, you come in here and take pictures, you'll be the first one arrested. So much, you know, the First Amendment takes, I mean, even under the First Amendment took a beating on Monday. And the crowd was so big, it was tough to, I mean, if you look at some of the arrest photos that many people have done, it was kind of tough to get a good angle. Because there were a lot of people standing around that line.
I don't know. I almost got arrested on the 4th of July on the Washington Monument grounds for handing a newspaper out to people who came up to me asking for it. And I had a park ranger threaten me with immediate arrest and have me hauled off in chains and God knows what else. And I think maybe the fact that I was starting to get a little bit loud and rambunctious got his supervisor over there.
Now, are you going to go to this shindig on Saturday?
I definitely will. I'm coming up tomorrow. I'm flying in from Florida.
And boy, are your arms going to be tired.
You got that right. But it's a straight shot from here to Baltimore, so I can. I hope I can last 2 hours on the plane.
You fly? What are you flying out of Panama City?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know they went to Baltimore.
Southwest has direct flights to BWI.
Oh, see, that's Southwest. How I wish they flew out of Charleston. If I could figure out some way to be there Saturday, after we deal with Ferg's knee surgery on Friday, I would. But the only way to fly to D.C. out of Charleston is to get on something called Colgan Air.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the one that crashed in Buffalo?
That same. And the plane they fly out of Charleston and Beckley to get to D.C. is the same kind of plane that fell out of the sky in Buffalo.
Oh, God. That certainly doesn't...
And the one that the one that goes out of Beckley, dear God, it lands at Dulles, and then you're into the bus ride to the Vienna Fairfax station, then you're on the You get the idea.
Hey, Vienna Fairfax is not bad.
No, but you got to get to Vienna Fairfax.
Granted. That's the bummer. That's the payment.
And then you've got 32 minutes to city center on the metro.
Yeah. That's not bad. It's a fun trip.
No,
you get a seat at Vienna Fairfax.
Well, that's the truth. You always can. Going to Vienna Fairfax, not so much.
No, but going from there.
On Tuesday, I stood up all the way from Federal Triangle to Vienna Fairfax.
Oh, God.
Squeezed in like sardines.
Rush hour.
It was a real joy.
Isn't it fun? God. Query, you don't have a train that goes to Beckley, do you?
Yeah, we do.
You do?
Yeah, but it only runs twice a week.
Oh.
Neither of them being tomorrow or the next day, and it takes anywhere from 6 to 12 hours to get there, depending on how many coal trains Amtrak has to get out of the way of. Yeah.
You're joking.
No.
Yeah.
No, because the way Amtrak works through this part of the corridor, Amtrak technically has priority over the rails as long as they do not fall behind. The instant the Amtrak falls 1 second behind on the timetable, they instantaneously have to begin to take sidings so that the coal trains can get past. And there's a lot of coal trains.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately. But did you get that article I sent you about the demonstration?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't have time to put a whole lot of time into it just because I've been going and trying to, you know, get my head halfway sane. But, yeah, I saw it.
Good. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to get to Beckley from D.C.
You get on the train and go. But it's a miserable ride. I've had it in coach and I've had it in that little sleeper car, and neither one of them is a very very pleasant traveling experience.
Is the dog any better?
Does what?
Is the dog any better?
No.
Greyhound?
No. That's awful. That's a Greyhound or a Tourways or whatever bus on. No fun at all. You know, this is a place that's tough to get to sometimes.
I'll still keep looking around. I'm going to try and get down there.
All right. Well, that'll be cool. Well, Cossack, I got to run. We're all stacked up here, but happy travels and safe travels, and stay away from people carrying little plastic portable handcuffs.
Oh yeah, and those wonderful little tasers.
And by all means, do if you can report back to us and tell us how it goes. I'll be very interested. I hope they get a bigger crowd than Beck got.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I hope so. I'm doing my part.
Attaboy, Cossack. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The Cossack calling from North Florida on his way to points elsewhere. And onward we go. It's about 22 minutes before the hour. Nope. And let's try here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Ed.
Hey, what's up, Ed?
Hey, we got cut off last time we were talking because my phone went dead.
Yeah, you'll have that. I had that happen to me in D.C.
So how you been?
Yeah, I am wore the heck out. I've been on the road and right saddle sore for the moment.
Well, I had a nice conversation with Agnes here last week.
Oh, good.
I was trying to apologize for cutting you off the way I did.
No, oh, you didn't have any apologies to make. Phones die.
You're a lucky dude, man. She's a good girl.
Isn't she?
She's kind of crazy, but she's a good girl.
You got to be crazy to put up with the likes of me.
So what's going on?
Same old, just working it.
And you're talking about your train rides. Don't they have a bar car or anything like that on them?
Yeah, there's a bar, but I can't drink. The motion sickness. Nuck.
Oh, I think that'd be great. Flop them back and forth like that. So what's the deal that the last guy was talking about?
Oh, the big rally tomorrow. That was Cossack. The big rally tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Saturday in D.C. Hoping for hundreds of thousands of good, committed progressives and liberals gathering together to sort of, I guess, show their strength.
Well, you got to remember, I'm in Iowa, so I don't get to see that kind of stuff too much.
That's true. You're a ways out there. But then, are you just talking about liberals? And not a lot of liberals in, well, there are little enclaves of liberalism in Iowa, aren't there?
I know three or four of them. You know, there's very few in northwest Iowa. Our congressman is Steve King.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
That's like not having a congressman at all.
Well, right. It's terrible here. It's just terrible.
Well, so tell me, Ed, what are the people like? What kind of person goes running off to the polls saying, oh, I just got to vote for Steve King again?
We got a bunch of racist bastards here. That's the only way I can really describe them. They are racist bastards. And a lot of them are my own family.
You know, I hear that so often. That's heartbreaking.
Well, the company I work for, okay, I'll give you an example. We make fertilizer spreaders, seed tenders, and stuff like that for, like, cattle operations and farmers and stuff like this. Okay, so and I don't expect you to know what they look like, but they're on the backs of trucks and trailers. And stuff.
No, I've actually seen them. I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, the company I work for, just today, we hired a Mexican guy. And this poor dude, you wouldn't believe how much these guys, they treat him, if you don't mind my pun, they treat him like shit because he's Mexican.
Not surprising.
And he was hired because, and that's not everybody I work with. He was hired because, and he's just a part-timer. He has another full-time job, and he works for another company, but he wanted a part-time job. He was hired because this other, and it was a white guy, recommended him. And he told everybody, you know, he's a nice guy. He's just here to make a living, and he's documented and everything else. But the fact that he's a Mexican, and it's kind of odd to me. I don't understand it. But they treat him like shit just because he's a Mexican. They won't take the time to get to know the guy. And I don't know him yet either, so I might not like him in the future.
But you're at least willing to get willing to give him a fighting chance.
Well, right now I don't have a problem with the guy. He seems nice enough to me. You know, I don't care what you are. You know, the guy's just trying to make a living. It's weird here, and it's really hard to be a Democrat here.
Well, I mean, as far as being a Democrat is concerned, are there county Democratic organizations of any substance, or is it just all sort of you're on your own?
You're basically on your own. I mean, I live in Woodbury County. Okay. Northwest Iowa, and that includes Sioux City, Iowa. Okay, and there are a lot more Democrats in Sioux City. But that's where I'm from. And I don't live in Sioux City. I live in the very northeast corner of the county. Okay, so then if you go north a little bit, you hit Sioux County. And if you're a registered Democrat, man, it's bad. I'm telling you, it's, you're better off just...
Well, I mean, do people, and this is the first, I don't have many of these chances. Ed, do people in districts like that, do they know the crazy crap that the people they elect go to Washington and say?
They don't care.
Well, but more than...
They don't. I'm telling you, dude, they don't care. They are Republicans because their dads were Republicans, and come hell...
And Lincoln won the war.
And they don't care. They're Republicans. It doesn't matter. I will guarantee you when Steve King runs... Steve King, he will not. We got a pretty good guy that wants to debate him. He will not debate
him. And Steve King will not debate him.
He will not debate. And if you check the news articles, he says the guy's not worthy of a debate and all this other crap. And it's because the guy has something to say and Steve King don't want to hear it. Well, you've seen what, I don't know how much you've watched what Steve King has said in the past, but he is like one of the worst.
Oh, he's a loon.
Well, he's the idol here. That's how crazy these people are.
Does he bring home a lot of bacon? Does he get a lot of federal money?
I don't think he gets anything. He hasn't sponsored. I don't, and, you know, and lately I haven't really followed it that much. Ever since Clyde died, I've kind of got out of the loop. But the guy really, he has done nothing. And maybe you could check on this and see. But I don't think the guy's ever sponsored anything, you know, as far as different bills, because he is so far to the right. And personally, I don't care if a guy's a Democrat or Republican or what, but, you know, you got to kind of work for the people a bit. Well, he doesn't. You know, he's a fencer guy, and I don't know. It's just, it's crazy here because when push comes to shove, I'm lucky in the state of Iowa, we are coming around, not in northwest Iowa, but and not in Steve King's district. And before they redistricted, or I don't know what you call it, before they did that, we had Tom Latham. Do you remember him?
Vaguely.
Well, he was bad, but he was nothing like him. It's, well, now we got Terry Branstad coming back trying to run for governor, and tell you the truth, I think the son of a bitch is going to win. Iowa's kind of a freaky state.
Well, that's the thing, Ed. You know, if I ever had the chance to just drive around out there, I'd feel like I was on another planet because I'd be looking at people going, oh, wow, did that person vote for Steve King? Is that a Steve King voter? Just like when I drove by somebody's house with a Rand Paul sign in the yard, I just wanted to go up and knock on the door and just look at them. Because you almost feel like they got to be from another planet or pod people or something.
Well, I don't know if it's that bad, I guess, but it's...
You know, just knock on the door with a list of Steve King quotes and say, you know, he said this, 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 and this. Did you know he said these things? Do you approve of this? If you don't, why are you voting for him?
That's the problem. They don't know what he does. Nobody pays attention.
I mean, is there no newspaper? I mean, Sioux City's got to have a newspaper. Probably.
Half these people can't read. You know, they talk about hillbillies, you know. I suppose down in your neck of the woods or whatever. I'm telling you what, I live in the hick capital of the world.
That's just sad.
The hick capital of the world. These people are just ridiculous. And it's just northwest Iowa, and I don't know, get on your computer and check it out and look at the voting record from my area, and you will see that these people are just nuts.
Well, yeah, but you're a reasonable person, Ed. It's got to make your daily life a little bit of a challenge. Or do you just turn off that part and say, well, you know, it's Chinatown?
I just don't talk politics with them, you know. I got my own ideas, but I've had my ass chewed because I am a Democrat. Believe me, several times.
Yeah, because even though you don't talk to them, they're more than happy to talk to you.
Well, every once in a while, I let my emotions go. You know, because when I hear people talking stupid shit, because, well, it's, and the N-word Obama, okay? I'm not even going to say it, but.
Oh, yeah, don't use the word, but I know what you're, yeah.
I hear it all the time. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, because I've learned to live with it, but every once in a while it just pisses me off. I mean, he's been, well, according to these guys, he's worse than Jimmy Carter. And as far as I'm concerned, Jimmy Carter was one of the best presidents that we ever had.
See, that's kind of where I am. I have great respect for Jimmy Carter.
Well, because Jimmy Carter, when Jimmy Carter was president, and I don't know how old you are, but I remember sitting in gas lines in 1975 and 1976 for 45 cent gas. And Jimmy Carter, after he got elected, he said, we got to do something. And he reduced import oil from 8 to 9 million barrels a day to 4.5. And everybody called him stupid. He told everybody in the 70s what had to be done.
If we had listened, and honest to God, Ed, if we had listened and implemented everything he said, we would be in a different world.
You goddamn right we would have been. And they make him out to be the worst thing that ever happened since, well, Ronald Reagan was the worst thing that ever happened, but that's a whole.
That's what we thought until we got dim leader.
You know, that's the kind of people I deal with. And, you know, you can't talk sense to them because they're idiots. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're idiots. Maybe they're the smart ones and I'm the dumb one, but I don't know.
No, see, I don't think that's the case, Ed.
I'm not changing my views, but I just.
No, I think time will bear you out because, you know, you're up there amongst all those guys who, you know, people, not guys, all those people who vote Republican because Daddy voted Republican and Mama voted Republican and Grandma and Grandpa and Lincoln won the war. And yet they have been in that neck of the woods because, I mean, there's a good bit of farming out there, right?
Well, that's all it is.
Yeah, they've been the recipients of government welfare that would make that would make most anybody in this country blush.
Well,
farm subsidies.
Well, let me tell you a story. These people are nuts. What was it? I don't know if you. I think it was because every once in a while I like to watch. Like Hannity and stuff like that, just to hear stupid crap.
Yeah, it's just kind of like every now and then you want to drink wine out of a bottle with a screw top, just because
yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
Kind of, it's just kind of fun just to watch and hear what they're saying, because I really never believe anything they're saying. But do you remember the guy Craig T. Nelson?
Oh, sure, from the TV show Coach.
Okay, I think it was him. Now, I may be wrong, but I think it was him. And I think it was on Hannity, but it might have been, what's that other freak?
O'Reilly.
It was one of those two. And they were talking about all these, you know, you got some poor women out there that have a few kids and their husband leave them, or maybe boyfriend, whatever. And they're drawing a little bit of money from the government to help feed the kids.
Yeah, help not die.
Right. And and I'm almost positive it was Craig T. Nelson. Now, I could be wrong, but I think it was him. My memory's not that good because I'm getting older, but I'm pretty sure it was him. And he was carrying on about how these women shouldn't be getting this money to help take care of these kids. Now, why anybody would not want to help out a little kid that's hungry is beyond me.
Well, Rush Limbaugh wants him to dumpster dive. We had that earlier in the year.
Right. And he's bitching and moaning about these welfare moms. And he made the actual statement. Now, I saw it, and I'm sure it was him, but I could be wrong. He said that when I was younger, I was on unemployment, and you didn't see the government helping me out. And it was either O'Reilly or one of them said, I agree with you completely. Well, if you're on unemployment, I think the government's helping you out.
I think you're right.
Dude, I don't know, maybe.
No, they live in a world of cognitive dissonance. There's a study that just came out in the last day or so. A survey was taken by NBC News and the Wall Street Journal, Ed, and asked people about how they feel about free trade agreements and all of that stuff that's sent so many jobs overseas. Well, here's the fun part. 61% of respondents who identified themselves as teabaggers said that they object to those free trade agreements. Well, what makes that really silly and laughable is that the people they support free trade agreements. It's cognitive dissonance. It's a total disconnect between the emotionalism of political affiliation with the rational intellect of recognizing who's going to hurt you. And that's where these guys live. Hey, Ed, I've got to roll along because it's time for Rick Smith to come on. Good talking to you, brother.
All right, I'll call back.
All right, sounds good. Later, Ed.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
That's Ed calling from Iowa with a little, I don't know, it's kind of like a political National Geographic report. Yeah, as David in Tennessee notes, it's the what's wrong with Kansas syndrome. And you can add to that what's wrong with Georgia, what's wrong with Alabama, what's wrong with Iowa. It goes on and on and on. A story I want to make sure that I get to tomorrow on Friday on the front porch, a headline. Underground group of cadets say Air Force Academy controlled by evangelicals. This deserves some time, and it ties in with something that horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner just dropped in to me as by way of a note earlier this evening. He says, hey, Bob, for years now I've had this constant question running in the back of my head. Why are the Christian fundies working so hard to get a foothold into the Air Force Academy? Fortunately for us, Rick answers the question. What are fundies? They're nutcases who want the world to end fast so they can go and sit on God's lap. How can the world end fast? Asks Rick. A nuclear exchange between the USA, Russia, and China would wipe out 50% of all life on Earth in the first week. Then the nuclear winter brought on by all the uncontrolled fires would kill everything remaining within a year. Hell on Earth, a fundie's wet dream. Next question. Who controls most of the nukes in America? The Air Force. Who controls the Air Force? Officers from the Air Force Academy. Holy shitstorm, Batman. Bob, would it be smart to have one of the two airmen in that bunker under Cheyenne Mountain who, in a time of war, could push the button that set the nukes loose, be a fundamentalist Muslim trained in Afghanistan? Not very smart, right? Well, I feel the same way about Christian fundies. They're just as crazy, and for all the same reasons. That's what makes that story so damn terrifying. Fundamentalists, with their greedy, greasy, grabby little paws all over our nuclear arsenal. Inspiring, ain't it? Well, it's time to get out of here. It is, in fact, time for the Rick Smith Show, coming your way right here on the Horn. I'll be back tomorrow night for Friday on the Front Porch. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch for their continued support. They are, in fact, the hardest working, bravest, most activist people I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.